Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Prep Life Podcast. This is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Enger. And today I'm joined by a very special guest, Celeste Rains Turk. And most of you probably already know her. She has been on the podcast before, but she is also the host of Confessions of a Bikini Pro podcast. And she specializes in helping competitors build more than just a body by supporting them in making peace with food, their body, and their goals using psychology, personal development, mindfulness, and her signature PTG process. Celeste, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy to be back.
Yes, we're so excited to have you. And we wanted to start by just sharing with the audience that we had met in December. We did a hike in Phoenix, Arizona, and we were both talking about a retreat that we actually did in Glam Girl in 2020 before the world shut down in Phoenix, Arizona. And then Celeste, you can speak more on what time frame that your last retreat was, but why don't you
in August was my last retreat of last year, and then before that I had done like three others, or I guess I'd say it was like an event, and then my second one, the one that I just mentioned in August, was a two-dayer. So yeah, when we met up for our hike, we were talking about this, and naturally, you put two people together who think this way and we want to make something new.
Yes, absolutely. So yeah, I was picking Celeste's brain on just how her retreat went. And, we were just kind of talking about how we've done, you know, the one in the past and how wanting to do one again. And I felt like what was really missing out of our retreat was the mental aspect, the mindset, food relationships, all the things that prep lifers go through and bikini competitions kind of bring about when it comes to self-love, body image. So we're going to dive into a lot of those different things, give you some clues as to what we're going to be offering on my end and on Celeste's end. So first of all, why don't you just share with the audience why you're in Phoenix. Let's start there.
Yeah, so I moved from California to Arizona for my internship. I am finishing up my master's program, which is in clinical mental health counseling. And I got placed at a field site, which is a counseling center, here in Chandler. And I was really grateful for that because I think Arizona is just awesome. And I've been finishing up my master's program by getting all my hours through the internship. So that's what brought me here. But man, I just love it so much. There might be more reason to actually stay.
Yes, I have to say that I live in Kansas City and experience the weather right now as I look outside, and the snow is dirty and melting and it's really cold. I love Phoenix for the dry heat and just the beautiful, like we experienced the hikes. There's so much to do outdoors. And I mean, you can do anything from, you know, I guess snow ski a couple hours north, and then you can be in very, very hot weather with the desert. And I feel like things just kind of cool off at night as well. So I really like meeting there in February before the season starts up. So most of you probably know with the MPC, a lot of the competitions start around March. And then we kind of go hard until December, right before Christmas, and then there's kind of a break. So the reason why in 2020 I did the retreat in February is just to kind of get things going for that season. Little do we know the world would shut down, but this year I'm really excited to just kick off things before shows get busy so we can kind of work on some of these things that hopefully we can practice throughout the week. Or out throughout the year is what I meant to say. So, okay. Why don't we start with where we're going to host it? Do you want to do that?
Yeah. So it's going to be at the Arizona Grand Resort, which if you guys competed at any muscle contest shows last year, you might be familiar with the location, or if you saw photos from people who competed in those shows, specifically like USA's, then you're probably familiar with it. It's a beautiful venue it's close to Tempe and Phoenix area, really close to South Mountain, which is a pretty well-known hiking area we're going to be hiking. It's a very expansive resort. They've got an incredible fitness center, which Amy's told me about, and I just think it's perfect for One, accessibility, especially because it's like a 20, maybe a maybe not even 20 minutes from the airport. I'd say maybe 10, which is awesome for people flying in. And yeah, it's just a beautiful place. I think it'll be perfect for what we're doing.
Yeah, I really like the setting with the gym. I think it's really rare to find a hotel gym that is that extensive. I mean, it has a huge posing area with wooden floors, mirrors up top. It's got a free weight room. It's got a machines room with cardio equipment and lifting machines, and it even has another like functional movement area, which usually we all know if you've traveled and you are living the prep life, it's hard to find that kind of equipment. It's definitely a membership level type of setting. Plus, you get access to the water park that's there, and the mountain hike is just right behind the gym. So it's literally a 5-minute walk from the property, which is awesome as well.
Definitely. I'm really excited about the location, and I'm glad that you chose that, especially because it's so convenient for me. But like you were saying earlier with the events that you've done and the missing pieces, I'm also really excited to be part of an event and have us put our heads together because your team's going to be taking us through workouts and posing. And I know there's probably even going to be suit selection, which is really exciting. So I'm going to be sharing this episode to my podcast too. And I'd love for you to share also like what your guys' intentions are with the workouts and the posing, all that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're all as a team, all the coaches that are coming, they're each kind of owning different tasks. And so we're going to go through an upper body workout. We're going to go through a lower body workout. We're going to do HIIT training on Saturday and Sunday. And I don't think we mentioned the dates. So it's February 19th and 20th. It's a Saturday and Sunday. We're going to start around 9 a.m. Both days and then end around 2 or 3 Mountain Central time on both days. And yeah, we have our coach Deb is also a suit stylist at Angel Competition Bikinis. So she's going to bring a bunch of suits and kind of educate people on suit selection in terms of color, cut, crystals, all that stuff. And then Chris Nicole, who's an IFBB pro, will be leading a posing seminar. And yeah, Coach Christy is going to be doing a HIIT. Coach Jamie will also be doing a HIIT training, and then Coach Brittany will be doing the lower body, and then I'll be doing the upper body. But we all kind of work as a team, so you're going to get, I mean, the ladies that are going to be attending are going to get a lot of one-on-one attention because there's going to be a lot of coaches there. So
Yeah, I think that's going to be really awesome, and probably what makes this event even more unique is the amount of one-on-one attention that will probably be given, along with the camaraderie, because it's not just open to glam girl athletes, it's open to everybody, which I'm excited because I have some of my girls coming, which just gets me, I'm really looking forward to meeting some of them finally in person. And that's also special, is when you meet people who you've connected with, either you coach them or you've worked with them or you've seen them on Instagram or at shows. It's nice to actually meet and spend quality time together.
yeah, I mean, we even have somebody that neither one of us knows from Hawaii and from Texas. And
Yep.
then, I mean, we have people traveling as far as Alaska to come. So, pretty
So
stoked about
awesome.
it. Yeah, it's going to be a great way for just like-minded women that are passionate about fitness and health. And I've had several questions about just, if I've never competed or, I'm new to the competition world, does that matter? And we're definitely going to break people up in, especially like with posing, into skill level sets. And so there's a place for everybody, even if you have done, 20 competitions or zero, we'll find a place for everyone. So,
Love that.
all right. I wanted to talk with you about your past retreats and what made them successful. So what are some things that you really felt like brought a valuable piece to your puzzle of, your company?
Well, I'm very straightforward, and I would like to believe that I am one of, if not the best, at helping competitors with their mindset. Just given the results that I've gotten people, it's really amazing. And I feel blessed that I get to contribute in this way, applying the psychology, applying the counseling, applying the personal development. The thing that I think has made the events themselves successful is not so much me and my knowledge, honestly. Like, yeah, those are two really great things. But I think it's the way that people show up to the event. The women who have come to my events are like really open to connecting with each other, really open to being vulnerable and sharing what they're going through or have been through, talking about their experiences and lessons they've learned. So I think what makes the event valuable is not just, what we're doing in the workbook or what we're discovering through psychoeducation or the exercises we're practicing. It's the community that comes out of it. And if you guys are listening and wondering, like, what had those looked like, I have some videos on buildmorethanjustabody.com from a VIP experience as well as like a day one experience of an event. And you can kind of get a taste of what, we've done. But the connection is really undeniable. Like, seeing women just be vulnerable, I'm always reminded of the resilience. And I think that's what makes these events successful is the people who show up to them and ready to fully commit to what we do and trust it, because sometimes it can be scary or weird or strange, to try new things or process difficult times or past experiences. But through that journey and being in it together, I think is honestly what's been the most successful thing about it.
Yeah, and we have people, even if they're on the team, they don't know each other coming into this. And then sometimes the coaches have never met them. Like, for example, Chris Nicole is talking about how her client from Canada is probably going to come, and this will be her first time meeting her. I think that's the cool part is, I think for the last year and a half, we've really been missing connection of face to face, and online is great and all of that, but sometimes it's just so much more beneficial when you can, be with a group of people that are reaching that same type of goal. So, can you describe to our audience how you foster that safe environment, when it comes to like first impressions and vulnerability?
Well, those of you who come to the event and get to actually experience it, I would highly recommend obviously coming and getting this firsthand experience. But something that we do right off the bat is set that intention. I don't start an event with us just, immediately diving into, like I said, the psychoeducation or the workbook. We're really setting intentions together. We do some icebreakers that touch on people's needs and various commitments they want to get out of the event or things that they want to experience at the event. And what we usually find is a lot of people are going through similar or the same thing. And this is actually proven, when you say that you need help with something, you say you're struggling with something, it automatically reduces the impact of that stressor, of that struggle. So by just asking for help, so just by showing up, just by saying what you're going through, just by saying what you want to get out of the event, you're already making progress. So that is a huge piece of us breaking down the walls and being willing to be open. Another thing too, is when we do get to connect in the room, I've been very free flow. Like, everybody just kind of finds their seat and they choose their own. They can connect with other women. And I've never had a silent room. Like, it's just everyone connects immediately because we all have so many things in common. And to get in a room finally where people understand, because usually we as
I love that.
competitors, we might only get that experience backstage. And that's a difficult time to really have a deep
Right.
conversation.
Yeah. You're not going to connect that easily when you're
Right.
stressed
So,
and worried and maybe
yeah,
nervous.
exactly. So we get to, connect with people who are similar to us, and I think that fosters it too. But mainly it's just even by expressing what's going on, we make progress.
Perfect. I love that. So I know some of the topics that you're going to be talking on, and I just want to go through a little bit of those just to give our audience like a sneak peek of what you will, go over. So if you can touch on the stress management tactics, what are some things that we'll be working on during this time together?
Yeah, so the reason for the stress management tactics and the reason we're doing this very early on in the event is because, let's say something difficult comes up throughout the event, like you rehash a vulnerable story, or you're reflecting on a time where you binged post-show, or you're feeling like you're judging your body, and these things are sometimes difficult to talk about. Sometimes people have traumatic experiences that come up, and I think it's really important that we can learn how to manage the stress. And using things like bottom-up processing, meaning we're getting into what's the most visceral response to the things that you've experienced? What is the physical sensation that you've gotten from it? For some people, that might be that their heart races, they get shaky, maybe they get really tense or they can't focus. We want to be able to cope. So if things come up throughout the event, you can go back to those stress management tactics. And of course, bring that mindfulness with you outside of the event. That's going to be a huge deal. So it's not just in the moment stress management. And mind you, I'm not saying this to make you guys scared about coming, like we're going to be scraping off all these scabs and wounds, you know, and trying to perform surgery, like not necessarily, but things come up. And it's important that if we're going to be vulnerable, we're going to make progress. We have to be honest, not just with each other, but with ourselves. And sometimes that can be difficult to do, which is why the stress management is important. So I guess a few examples would be we can go through different breathing practices. We can identify ways to cope that might involve like closing your eyes or body awareness or somatic mindfulness. So somatic mindfulness, meaning like we're using our body. I find that that's especially beneficial for athletes because we are usually able to connect with our body so much. You ask a competitor how their body is feeling compared to someone who has never been an athlete or never competed, the answers are going to be very different, I believe. And usually that is the case. So athletes tend to have more awareness, like, oh, my ankle is feeling like it might be sprained, or oh, it's bugging me a little bit, or my back is kind of tight. We can say and communicate that. And I think using that strength to our advantage with stress management is going to be really important as well.
Interesting. Okay. So my next question was going to be, what do you cover when you talk about mindfulness? So I'm sure that I heard some of that was part of the stress management, but I know that can also be related to food specifically as in terms of that. So can you cover just a little bit about what you're going to talk about with mindfulness?
Yes. So mindfulness, I like to really simplify it because sometimes we're like, what does mindfulness mean? And I just think like break down the word itself. Like it means we're bringing our mind into something rather than out of it, like mindless versus mindful. So we're bringing more of our mind into whatever's happening. People who are, again, this is proven, people who are more mindful have higher self-esteem. They usually have a clearer sense of who they are and more awareness on how actions that they take or behaviors or environments impact them, as well as their own emotions. So if we can foster the mindfulness, and by the way, this kind of goes back to what I said before, connecting with our body, connecting with our breath, understanding what's the somatic experience we're having, but also being able to take into consideration various variables when we're making a decision. So when it relates to food, for example, we're going to be going over specific questions you might be able to ask yourself at mealtime or specific practices that can benefit you when you are going into a meal. So it is more mindful and it's not just autopilot mode, which many of us competitors can fall into. Another thing that we're going to be doing is bringing mindfulness to our body. This is not just a body image, I should say. This is not just like, oh, I love my body and I'm so amazing. Like, you know, that's good. I think it's important first off to recognize, like, let's be mindful about what our body actually does for us. Let's bring some awareness into the processes of our body that's being experienced on a day-to-day basis. So we're not just eating to eat, we're eating to nourish or eating to fuel or recover or support some sort of goal, whether that's a family related goal, an experience with friends or bodybuilding or a combination of all of these things. Bringing mindfulness into it is going to allow us to have stronger intentions because if we're dissatisfied with our body or we're constantly obsessing about food or we don't take the time to really connect with ourselves through every experience that we have, we're going to be more disconnected from ourselves and more vulnerable to things like eating disorders or body image dissatisfaction or honestly, quite detrimental psychological traits, maybe even a different expression of neuroticism with more focus on the negatives rather than on the positives of the experience. Because this is hard, you know, this sport is hard. But it doesn't have to be seen that way all the time. It can be an experience that is more relaxed or more fulfilling and empowering. And that's ultimately what I think is necessary with bringing mindset into the game.
Absolutely. So when it comes to food relationships and just kind of putting that into practice, can you give us a few snippets on what that looks like?
Sure. So something we'll cover is how the way you think impacts your parasympathetic nervous system. We're also going to talk about how you can prepare yourself through the way that you think about food. So, challenging your perspective on food itself. Sometimes, I think the best way to figure out what we need or what is maybe the most pressing concern is by taking a major contrast to it. So, for example, we might say, oh, it's really difficult for me to track my macros, or I'm really struggling with tracking my macros. And we might say, well, what if macro tracking didn't exist? What would be different? And we start to challenge the perspectives that we have, challenge the approach we take to this sport, so we can actually figure out what's going to be the better approach for us. With that comes identifying what rules we might have about food, what fears we might have about food, what are the not so helpful and maybe red flags around food. Things like how we view the decision, like I said earlier, seeing it as a choice and a personal decision and nourishment rather than a chore, and taking the time to set intentions, connecting to the bigger picture outside of just my coach told me to, what else is this doing for you? We'll bring presence to food and gratitude with food. So again, it's not just we're in autopilot mode, which is a major red flag, or we're constantly obsessing over the foods we haven't eaten. It's like, why don't we take a step back and find the best, most sustainable approach for you, so we're not perpetuating a lot of the, struggles that people face post-show, I think, are perpetuated through prep. So part of addressing your food relationship post-show is also being willing to prepare for it through prep, and coming to this event before your season kicks off is actually, I think, a really great timing too, because a lot of times people will say, oh, Celeste, do you work with people in prep? And I'm like, all the time. I think it's so important to establish healthy routines, healthy behaviors, and thought patterns in prep so it can actually apply. So again, we'll do some things like mealtime rituals. We'll identify how eating goes beyond, the physique goals and the macros. And we'll look at how your identity has influenced the types of foods that you're eating or the way that you perceive food, maybe past experiences as well. Hopefully that gives a decent look at what that might be like.
Absolutely. So when you talk about daily practices with your either, if somebody's in prep or, maybe they're in an improvement season or maybe they're, just kind of struggling with their food relationship, what are some of those things? I know you mentioned like a reflection kind of diary before they eat. What are some other daily practices that you'll implement or talk about?
Yeah, without giving too much away.
Yeah.
definitely the journaling before meals. A lot of people know my work in the food relationship program I have, and a major component of that work is mealtime rituals and daily reflections that I develop specifically around competitors using mindfulness-based eating. So we'll introduce some of that, some of those questions in there. Another thing that we can incorporate is using our senses to have the maximal or most fulfilling experience with food. So again, it's not just like shoveling it down, but it's actually paying attention to how is the food influencing our senses. What does it taste like, smell like, feel like? What is it like when it's just sitting in your mouth versus when you're chewing it? And a lot of that can be weird, but it's just to have a more intimate relationship with food and your decisions with it. We want to make sure that we create different patterns that are going to allow you to not see food just as a path to your goal, but again, something that's going to support you in the day to day. So I like using senses. I like using the mealtime rituals. You guys will get like three of them at the event. I think that could be a good place to start. And then we'll also discuss like your beliefs around food. And this oftentimes comes up when people have cravings or when people have emotional eating issues or stress eating issues. We can identify other ways to satisfy those unmet needs and basically outside of food, because it's oftentimes reinforced through food. So people are like, oh, I always eat at 8 p.m. every night when I get home from work or whatever, and I'm no longer stressing, or it's just because I've had a long day or whatever. So we might be able to identify that pattern and then work to like work backwards from it and say, what's the unmet need and how do we now satisfy it? So it may seem basic, but I think some of the methods that we'll utilize and kind of go over at the event will bring a bit more awareness to how to transform that and integrate, the healthier coping mechanisms through that through those eating experiences each day.
So somebody had asked a question, and it just reminded me of it when you were talking about kind of the food immersion experience and, you know, being very present with your eating. So we are going to be having, you know, two lunch breaks. I was just wondering if we're going to try to implement some of that and put it into practice.
Yes, let's do. I think that will be honestly so, so perfect. I'll probably bring the sensory experience that I've taken people through. I call it satiation through the senses. Probably bring that so we can do it at least through one of the lunch breaks, maybe on day one or even day two, so people can walk away with it as well.
Yeah, and just so listeners know too, that because I had this question if food was provided, and just because we are all in different parts of the journey, most of us tend to like pack our food and have a specific plan. So we are just kind of doing a no food included type of retreat. And then if you're wondering what the cost is, if you register for the early bird, so if you register by on or before January 29th, if you're a member of Glam Girl Bikini or build more than just the body, then it's a $200 charge for the retreat. And then you'll have to cover your flight and the hotel there. And then for any non-members, early bird pricing is $250. And then there's a $50 kind of late fee charge. Things are filling up really fast though, and I don't know if we're going to have to put a cap on it at some point. So make sure you get your registrations in soon. And I'll have the link in the show notes on how to sign up for the retreat. And you just basically go on our website, glamgirlbikini.com, and there's a retreat button. And we ask all sorts of fun questions to kind of get to know you better before the whole experience. But going back to the immersion experience, I know you had planned on doing one in the South Mountain Preserve while we hike. And our past retreat, we did a Camelback Mountain hike, which was very challenging.
Yeah.
It was also like really encouraging when we got to the top and we took pictures. And that in and of itself, just like going through that experience together, was kind of a cool activity to do. So can you tell us a little bit about what people could expect if they were on that hike with us?
Yeah, so really we'll make the most of the hike, just have fun and enjoy the trek up, chats, whatever. Won't probably do any psychoeducation during the walking, but when we get to the top, we'll go through a daily ritual that can support you in setting intentions for the day and expressing gratitude to your body, and something that you can then take with you outside of the event. So every day you'd have like a journaling practice you could do, or some sort of expression practice that you could do to start your days. And then we'll use that as an opportunity as well to have the gratitude, like I said, for your body. And I think it's a great time when we have gone through something maybe strenuous or even a hike or anything that engages our body, to spend that time connecting and recognizing what our body's just supported us in doing and supports us in doing each day as well.
Awesome. And then I was wondering if you could explain your PTG process.
Yeah, so PTG stands for Peace Through Growth. And the Peace Through Growth process is widely used in my food relationship program above anything else. You could argue it's a little bit in my post-show program, but I'd say I really apply it in the food relationship program. And the way that I like to describe it is we go through a discovery phase. So that's where we're really uncovering what is happening with your relationship with food and your body. And then we go through an integration phase. This is where we're like really implementing the behaviors and the new strategies from the program itself into your day-to-day life. And then the last phase of it is making sure that it's sustained throughout. So we're not just, oh, we uncovered everything and found out what needs help, and then we only did what was helpful for that 5 weeks or 6 weeks or whatever it ends up being that I'm working with someone, and then nothing after that. It's about also finding out how do we apply it moving forward so it's sustainable for them. So I call it Peace Through Growth because no matter what season you're in, we're growing. And I found that a lot of people have struggled with the growth season of competing, and I wanted to make sure that they had peace in that season. But beyond that, you know, when we're in a prep, we're also growing in new ways, whether that's mentally or physically. or even emotionally. And I think it's important that we foster peace in that process, because if we're always putting pressure on ourselves, or we're always questioning our ability, or comparing ourselves, or trying to do what somebody else is doing or said is best, I think we're actually taking away from how amazing the bodybuilding experience can be. And that's probably why there's a lot of jaded competitors. And I want to make sure that people don't quit on competing just because of a bad experience or because it didn't feel sustainable. I think this sport is amazing, and if we can relieve the pressure from it, then I think we'd have more successful competitors, more champions coming out of this.
Yeah, can you share your personal story? I know at first you had done, I think, 5 shows and kind of had like a little bit of a shift in mindset when it comes to competing and just body image and things like that. I don't know if you mind sharing how your personal journey has sort of inspired this program and what you're all about.
Yeah, for sure. So started competing. My first show was November of 2015. I did not do well at all at that show. It was my first show though, and I remember feeling like I failed, like all my hard work for the last whatever it was. I think I did a 12-week prep, which in itself is not maybe the best move for your first show. But anyway, I did like a 12-week prep, and I felt like my work wasn't validated, and that was a key sign to me that my mindset was really what was holding me back, because a placing shouldn't be what brings me the validation. And that tells me that the process was more about the result than it was the process itself, which, of course, now I know looking back that that's what probably made it a more difficult experience. I had disordered eating and exercise behaviors for a few years before competing for the first time. That looked like every time I ate something, I would do some sort of exercise or physical activity because I thought that's what I was supposed to do or should do. I would have like binge days, cheat day or cheat meal would turn into a binge day where I'd eat whatever I wanted. Like I'd literally wake up at midnight and probably eat the whole entire day, everything that I never ate and fixated on until midnight the following or that same day. It was just terrible. And then I got into competing, and competing kind of became like my crutch of saying like, oh, the reason I'm not eating certain things is because I'm on prep. And that's never a good reason not to participate or eat something or do something. I think we have to have something beyond I'm on prep or I'm just trying to diet or whatever. That's not a good enough reason. So now I've understood and learned there's a lot more to my lifestyle than just stepping on stage. And in 2015, I made that decision that my mindset's not going to be what holds me back. And I invested in personal development at that time. I had actually changed my degree from dietetics to psychology because I had so much more interest in psychology than I did in the telling people what to eat. I really wanted to just help them understand why they were eating what they eat, which is funny because now we're putting our two heads together and it's perfect. And yeah, so that was an interesting time for me because I really had to embark on like addressing my own relationship with food and body image, and then moving forward from there. It was 2017, so maybe like a year and a half that I decided, okay, I want to compete again. I've come a long way with how I see myself and how I see food. Wasn't perfect by any means at all, but I definitely made a lot of progress from where I was. And I knew that I was still hitting the gym every day. I was still eating a lot of the same foods because it was such a lifestyle for me, even before my first show. And then beyond, I let myself kind of just do what my body wanted. I rebounded really poorly after that show, though. And then that was, more revealing to me of what I needed. So anyway, 2017 came around. I wanted to compete. This time I wanted to compete and show that you don't have to sacrifice your mental health to be a successful competitor. But to be honest, I didn't set proper intentions before that season. I think I just said, oh, I'm going to do it and prove to myself that I can without the rebound, and not like, oh, here's my intentions to make this prep better than the last. And I prepped from 2017 to like all the way through 2018. I had like a little 12-week, if you want to call it, reverse diet situation that I took myself through as a way to just build my own confidence, honestly. And that went really smoothly and definitely helped me to feel more confident in myself and my choices. And then 2018, finished my season, and oh my gosh, I was reminded of so many of the, I don't know if that reminded is the right word, but it was revealed to me so many of the struggles that competitors face that I wasn't previously aware of after just doing one show. It was like, now at that point I had done five or six shows and I knew, okay, wow, this is a serious problem that we face. And I was not interested in falling back into that pattern. So I was like, okay, throughout my time studying psychology, I was learning about body image and I was learning about mindfulness and I was learning about eating disorders. And I was trying to apply that to athletes throughout my degree. Like most of my papers were on this. And it was just because it interested me so much. And so after my show, I was like, I'm going to apply this to myself. And I started getting on phone calls with other competitors. Like I put it out on my social media. I was like, I need to talk to other competitors, get an idea of what you guys are experiencing to make sure that I wasn't crazy. And I had started my podcast at the time and heard pros talk about this struggle. I heard amateurs, they were DMing me or they were commenting about how they resonated with these struggles. And I was like, this is a problem. It's not being addressed. There's a gap in the industry that I can fill. So my journey kind of took me into fulfilling that gap and got on a phone call with a bunch of competitors, wrote down their struggles, understood their struggles more, launched my post-show program, got two people in it and thought like, wow, I'm such a boss. I can't believe it. I never marketed to competitors and now I have two competitors. And that was amazing. And from there, I was like, I don't care where this goes. I just know that this is an important mission that I feel has been put on me and I want to follow. And ever since then, I mean, I've immersed myself in more of the learning and the education and pursued my degree further. And obviously my own personal experiences and experience with working so many athletes have been able to develop it further. But now I'm heading into prep for, I'm in prep for my 10th show. And I'm so glad that I went through all of that. And I'm so glad for the things that I've learned along the way and the things that I've helped other people with too. Because honestly, those were the things that helped me and continue to help me in being the athlete I want to be. And now my preps are so much smoother and my post show so much smoother because it's based on my identity. It's based on my intentions and my commitments and standards, not what I think should be or what someone else says. It's like respectful of my body and my circumstances.
Yeah, I feel like, I've had so many mistakes and failures along my way too, but I think that the most important thing is that you learn from it and try to help other people not go through it. If you had a very negative experience, I know that's my mission as a coach is just I want athletes to be able to, to be able to empower them to have a prep that is, conducive to keeping themselves healthy. And just from what I've learned, the wrong ways to do things, but it's like a learning process, and just passing that forward to make a difference. So I really admire your story, and I think
Thank
that what
you.
you're doing is definitely a pain point in the industry that you're addressing. It's very much needed, and yeah, you. I mean, I don't think it's outside the realm of saying that you're probably one of the only people that does what you do. And I hope that you continue to just keep,
Thank you.
impacting everybody's lives in that nature. So,
Thank you.
yeah. Did you have any questions for me, or was there anything that I missed about the retreat that you think would be important for people to know?
Well, I just kind of want to say, I had sent this to a friend of mine and he was like, oh my God. He's like, I can't believe how, and I hope this doesn't sound too salesy, you guys, but like, he's like, I couldn't believe how cheap it was because they're getting all these training sessions as well. And like, when you think about it, a lot of people pay like even just $100 for one training session with their coach
True.
or one posing session. So it's a major, I think this is an event of major value. And I want people to understand like, we're not doing this to profit. We're doing this just to connect and support you guys in your journeys and establish like more rapport with each other, more of a community. And I think it's going to be amazing. And I'm really excited to meet everyone from Glam Girl too, but mostly just this event I think is going to be awesome. And I'm very happy that we're doing it and that we talked about it and just pulled the trigger and made it happen.
Yeah, it just worked out perfectly right before your internship gets super busy, and the stars aligned for sure
It
in that
did.
regard. And I think Phoenix will be a beautiful place to have everybody meet in this cold weather. As far as the retreat goes, like I said before, I will have the sign up link in the show notes, and we hope that you'll join us. I think it's going to be truly, I mean, a life changing experience. Both Celeste and I were talking about on the hike how we really just like bringing value to the industry and educating, and we really wanted to provide something along these lines just to help people grow in the sport. And I'm appreciative that you're doing all the mental mindset work during this program, because it's going to be awesome. So they're going to get their money's worth. And then you're doing workbooks too, right? Did you want to talk about that? Or
yeah, there'll be workbooks provided for some of the things that we're covering, so you guys will be able to take notes and keep them as well to take with you beyond the event.
Yep. And I will be also sharing some materials in regards to opposing handbook and things like that. So they'll definitely get their, you know, all the resources and things to take away from the retreat. So physical and mental and all of that. So we are very excited. So with that, that kind of concludes this episode. Do you want to let people know where they can reach out to you if they want to thank you for the episode, or your social media handles and things like that?
Yeah. So you guys can connect with me on Instagram at celestial_fit. And my website is www.celestial.fit.
Awesome. And you can find us on Instagram at Prep Life Podcast or at Glam Girl Bikini. And as I mentioned before, you can go to glamgirlbikini.com and basically apply and register for this retreat. You can also hit the Get Started button and apply for the team. And with that, thank you for joining us. This is Amy Enger, founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini. Thanks for listening, guys.